Alicia Kay from the Meditation in Zili. Lily? Zili?
No, it's Lily. She's right.
I'm right. In the North Pittsburgh area of NA.
Alicia, I'm an addict. I'm just going to take a moment to get out of the way. You can use it for whatever you need it for. I'm going to use it to pray. Okay, so first I'd just like to thank the committee for asking me to speak. It's always an honor to, you know, share NA's life-saving message. I'm really nervous for sure. The last time I spoke at this retreat, I had probably about 16 months clean. I was really nervous. I talked for about 7 minutes, and I got, like, caught up in fear, so I shut up. Like, I didn't take the time or, like, give myself the time to really, like, let God get out of the way. And everyone said that I did a good job, but, like, I beat myself up for it. And I haven't had an experience like that since, but, like, coming back here and being asked to speak again, like, that's what's been in my head. And, like, my disease has been telling me that I don't have anything to share. I don't have any experience. And, yeah, basically just that I have nothing to say. And that's not really true. So my clean date is 4/23/13. And that might be the most profound thing that I say, because, like, by the grace of, like, God in this program, like, I've stayed clean for a little while. When I first got to the rooms, I didn't really have any idea of, like, what a defect was. I definitely had them, but I didn't really have a clue what that meant. You know, I was very self-centered, self-obsessed, and, like, even when I first started coming around, I was really concerned with, like, what you had to give to me. And I was very selfish in my program, and I think I needed to be so that, like, I could make sure I stayed clean, like, right in the beginning. You know, I know a lot of people talk about, like, the importance of, like, being selfless, but for me early on it was important to be selfish, at least a little bit. But once I, like, stacked a few days, it was important to start to, like, be of service and to think about other people and to not always put, like, my needs and my wants first. Which is hard because, like, it's all about me, clearly. But being in service definitely, like, helped me with that. And, like, being accountable to another woman, like, to a sponsor and other women in the program helped me to get out of the way and to start to, like, be willing to, like, work the steps and, like, start to look inward. And the first three steps were great. You know, they laid a really excellent foundation for me. But, like, the real work, like, getting inward and getting to those defects for me started in the fourth step, when I started to look at those resentments, but more importantly, like, where I had to look at my part in those resentments. Like, where was I self-obsessed, selfish? You know, where was I, like, hurting other people? What part did I play? And when I went over 4 and 5 with my sponsor, like, starting to write a list of what those defects were, you know, perfectionism, self-pity, self-righteousness, all of those things, and starting to see that in my daily life. And I was strongly encouraged that, like, I not pause between 5 and 6, and I really took that to heart, and I didn't pause at all. You know, I think within the week, probably more like a couple of days, I started writing on my 6th step. So for the 6th step, you know, it's about making a list and becoming entirely ready to have those defects removed. But I guess it's important to think about, like, what is a defect? And I was thinking about that this morning when I should have been listening to other speakers. I was being a little self-obsessed this morning. And, like, I could have looked it up. I could have looked in a book, and I just didn't for whatever reason. But, like, my understanding of what, like, a character defect is that it's, like, any personality trait that, like, through my disease of addiction has, like, become defective and become something that, like, doesn't serve me anymore. Like, it's warped. And, like, it probably served me at one time in my addiction, or, like, I thought that it did, but, like, it doesn't serve me anymore. So, like, self-righteousness, for example, it's a character trait. Anybody can be self-righteous at any time. But when I do it to the point where, like, I push people away or I can't have, like, a functional relationship, then it's a defect. Or if I'm perfectionistic to the point where, like, I'm hurting myself, then it's a defect. So then how do we go from being self-obsessed and having all these defects to, like, finding assets? Besides working the steps, like, formally writing on them, like, living them in my day-to-day life has been, like, vital for my survival. And I really started to learn how to apply spiritual principles in working 6 and 7. And, like, so, like, a solution for, like, self-righteousness might be, like, a spiritual principle of, like, tolerance and love. Or even forgiveness, like, if you're beating yourself up, you know, and, like, really applying those spiritual principles, like, to me, like, the way, that's really the way to get to an asset. Like, any defect that I have, like, I have to find the spiritual principle. What's the spiritual solution to whatever I'm going through? Without that, like, my recovery means nothing. Like, if I'm not working on the solution, whether I'm, like, working on a character defect or not, if I'm not trying to get into the solution, like, I'm being part of the problem. And it's nice to, like, want to be part of the solution today, because, like, for so long in my life, like, I was part of the problem. And I wasn't just part of the problem. Like, I was creating problems and creating chaos, like, in all my relationships, in, like, every area of my life. And that really definitely became clear to me, like, once I got clean and I started to take a look at, like, what was or wasn't available to me. You know, I didn't have real relationships. I didn't have people that really cared about me. Like, all the, like, using friends that I had, like, once I got clean, they all fell away. They didn't really care about me. You know, and, like, by working the steps and applying some principles and, like, listening to other people and trying to, like, seek to understand rather than be understood, like, I've learned how to develop meaningful relationships today. Relationships where, like, people want to be around me and, like, I want to be around them. And I listen to them. I don't just be quiet and then wait for my turn to speak. Like, I do my best to listen and to respond to what they're saying and to, like, really hear them. You know, hear them in my heart, not just, like, between my ears, because it's not just about that today, because my head gets me into a lot of trouble. I think that's all I have to share. Thanks.
Thank you, Alicia, for sharing. And I'd like to introduce our second speaker, which is Jace S. from the Principal's First Group of NA in the, what is it, BVA NA?
Beaver Valley.
Yeah. Okay, BVA area of NA.
Jason, I'm an addict. Okay. Supposed to speak about turning defects into assets. but I'm not going to start with that. There's like a part of NA that like isn't in the basic text. It's just like, I don't know. It's not described in the basic text. It's not things that we talk about. I know fear is like the essence of a lot of the decisions that drove us to use drugs. But even when you take the drugs away, it's something that, at least for myself, I battle regularly. You know, fear keeps me trapped from making decisions that would have positive outcomes in my life. So I love when I see stuff like this happen. You know, like she's exercising a demon on some level. By she felt guilt and shame, whether it was real or not, for whatever she did. I don't feel that she should feel any, but she did feel it and it was real. So for her to step through the fear and act out on faith, to come up here and give a lead in a place that drove her crazy for all this time is like applaudable and amazing to me. That's the most important thing to me And I'll get into why I'm saying that in a second. More than just like, and like, I kind of know her. I have a history with her boyfriend. So it's just, makes me feel so good when I see people give leads. I get to live in an honorable moment to speak with her and just to see her like step out on faith, through that fear to even do this at all. This stuff is not easy. And why I'm really feeling that is because I don't even understand this topic, really. I don't. I just got here 5 minutes ago. I didn't know this was an hour and 40 minutes from my house. And on some level, I'm being serious. Like, turning a defect into an asset, that's counterintuitive to my belief system. I don't turn any defects into any assets. I apply a spiritual principle over the defect. I pray every day on my knees every night to have these defects of character removed from me. They're not serving a great purpose in my life other than to keep me trapped in pain. So you can have the defects. I don't want none of the defects, and I'm not turning to anything. I'm trying to hope God to see fit to let it be removed from my life. So I don't know who made this topic up, but I don't understand it really. I mean, but, and I'm okay with that too. Like, I just pray and talk, and I'm hoping that I'm living the type of life based in recovery, being in a process of change, that whenever people ask me to do this, I can give a clear message of NA. I don't do all kinds of homework on the topics, figure everything out. I run it by my sponsor, talk to someone, and pray about it. And then whatever comes out, comes out. I believe in that. But I know for me, I have to be trying to live this to the best of my ability before the shit hits the fan or before someone asks me to come to the woods and talk about it. So I hope that I am. But I did think in the last 7 minutes on this dirt road, just looking at my past and my life of like, even though I just said I want all these things removed, I find myself being trapped in them, you know. And even though I'm willing and I'm praying and I'm trying and the pain's getting great enough and the defects have been removed, but there's still some that are deeply ingrained that I'll live in, that I'll falsely believe might be an asset, or I'll just know it's the wrong thing and I'll just stay stuck in it because it feels comfortable. So I started to think about that and think, why would pain feel comfortable? So I looked at my track record in life and realized this is something I've been doing all my life. You know what I mean? I'm not comfortable in success. I'm not comfortable in love, compassion, understanding. All the spiritual principles that apply to this program, or what to me the program is about, is totally foreign to who I've been before I walked in the doors here. So that's why I'm comfortable in shit. Because I've lived in shit my whole life. And it's easier. You know, it takes no work to go back or to stay who I've always been. It takes no work. It takes work, you know, to let go of the defect and to live in some asset and even apply a spiritual principle to any situation. Anger was something that I stayed in all my life. Like, my father was not, I don't know if he's an addict or not, but he was abusive, you know, you could say. He did good things for me, too. But he said, I wasn't going to be nothing. You're never going to do nothing. Everything you did is wrong. He was physically violent over things that did not deserve physical beatings. Or those type of beatings were never deserved. So I carried that. You know, I absorbed that. And that was my go-to. The same anger and pain that he inflicted on me was like a go-to thing. When I didn't like the situation, I wanted to do to everybody else what he did to me. Not just always physically, but a lot of like with my mouth and stuff. Comfortable stuff that I went to all the time, not realizing how much guilt and pain and shame that it would continue to cause me every time. So like she was saying, what I've learned about that stuff is not to, there's no way for me to turn anger or violence into an asset. There's no justification I punched you in the face out of love. I'm not going to be an asset. I'm going to be in handcuffs. But love is, you know, love is the asset that I apply. Understanding, empathy, or compassion. So it sounds simple, but it's not always simple because I've trained myself to believe in these things. They're the habits, the bad habits. That all these defects are just bad habits. They're coping mechanisms, they're defense mechanisms, they're painful things. I don't know what is attacking me. That I need to get rid of, but that are my go-tos. Love does not have a negative consequence in my life. Understanding and compassion, empathy, the spiritual principles I'm talking about, don't breed negative consequences. So really, like, these are simpler things, man. The assets make me feel good. The defects give me temporary relief of pain that cause more pain in the long run. It's like I can't fix a problem with a problem. My defects will never fix my defects. Only spiritual principles can fix these defects. I look at things like, because I never felt good enough, that I would lie a lot. And say I hate liars. Always. And it would come from not feeling good enough, you know. No matter who you were, what you did was irrelevant to how I felt on the inside. So everything I had to do, even if it wasn't a bold-faced, flat-out lie, it was always an exaggeration to say something that would make me think that you would like me. Not realizing, like, it's okay to be me no matter who I am, you know. I'm good enough. I'm okay. So honesty was freedom from the lie. Every single defect does have a spiritual principle that I can apply on the other side that will not create more guilt and shame and make me feel worse. It's just being able to be honest enough with, like, my sponsor, my friends, and at the group level to get the freedom that I'm truly seeking. I know none of this stuff that I'm talking about is easy stuff, and I haven't perfected, like, any of the things that I'm talking about. But what I'm really saying is there's hope for us. There's freedom in all of this. Sitting in a room quietly, living in obsession and compulsion will never get me to the solution. We overcomplicate a super simple program that has there's so many days and so many years of my recovery where I act like this program, like we call it work. I swing sledgehammers for a living. I don't know where in my head or why that it feels like prayer is work. Or we act like picking up a pen and putting pen to paper is like running a jackhammer. Calling my sponsor. Man, he doesn't want to hear from me. What are we going to say? I just talked to him yesterday. I really don't have nothing to even talk about. I don't want to burden him with my bullshit. Click. Weighs 1,000 pounds. And what I'm talking about is like freedom from the inner mental prison. It's a mental prison that we put ourselves in. We're binded to our disease thinking. The solution or the asset is the practice of the things that I say. No matter what I'm thinking. It doesn't matter what I'm thinking. It just matters what I'm doing. So if I want to be free from these defects and free from this disease thinking, there's a very simple solution that isn't running a jackhammer. It's as simple as writing. And I'm making this point for a reason, to realize, like, hope is what I'm talking about. But for the realization that we all must come to is like that this is a simple solution that we're so blessed to have. I don't have to take a drug to feel better anymore. I don't have to rob and steal and lie and scheme and plot and all these defects and all this stuff to attempt to feel better within a reality. It just made me feel worse. I couldn't run from something that's inside of me. So there's a simple solution, man. It's a simple, simple solution that we just always have to be remembering. Like, I just have to take the action. Doesn't matter what I'm thinking, the action is everything. There are certain things like, you know, I don't know. I'm not even going to go with what I was going to say. I just think that with everything I said, I understand that it takes time. You know, you'll hear that, like, you know, clean time doesn't equal recovery. I don't want to say that, but I'm going to say that. Clean time doesn't equal recovery. But I still believe that it takes time and practice. So it's going to take time to be able to do this stuff. I believe my defects get removed on God's time. Like I said, I pray for that stuff every night, for me to not act out on a shortcoming and to have my defects removed. Through that process, the hope is that I have had a lot of them removed. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got sick and tired of feeling the way that I always felt. I got sick and tired of doing the same exact behavior that when I was using, clean. So I just kept praying and praying and talking and being honest and asking for help, which is the key to this whole thing. And through that process, these things do go away. And they lessen. There's some that are very deeply ingrained in me that have not been completely removed. I believe that it does take my work and my action to get them removed, but I truly believe it's on God's time. I believe that the practice of prayer and honestly asking for help, when God sees fit, these things will be removed. So that's what I didn't really want to say, is that they do serve some type of purpose in my life, even though it's not good. They teach me a lesson. They allow my process, as long as I don't take nothing, for the pain to get great enough until I'm fully ready to have them removed. It's a scary process. The sixth step was the hardest step for me. I thought four and five was hard until I got on six. And when I started writing all those true, honest answers, they became painfully obvious to me. And then I went through the process of believing through my own willpower that I could stop doing these things. I thought I could stop. That was painful. Attempting to put my will over God's will. Attempting to have stuff done in my time instead of in God's time caused massive amounts of pain for me. I literally did get suicidal. I'm not trying to scare nobody. And this, my process doesn't have to be yours. But at the same time, I'm mentally and spiritually attempting to prepare you for what you might have to come. Be ready. And there's a reason why we work 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 before we get to 6. 6 cannot be spoken of without talking about 7, which is the solution to this whole thing. And that's all I kept thinking. As long as I pray and be honest and talk about what I'm thinking and feeling, God will remove these things. That was what it was. I had to be fully aware to have these removed. Fully ready, fully able, and beg the God, please take these from me. It worked. It works. As long as I don't take the first one, no matter what, these steps work. They're in order for a reason. I do not have to live in these defects of character anymore. I can become fully ready, you can become fully ready faster than me. When the pain gets great enough, the pain gets great enough, but I have to understand that I'm seeking out God. I don't believe, like I said, it is my core belief system that I turn any of these into some type of asset. My feeling is these things have caused me so much harm and so many other people harm. God, please take them away so I could fill that empty space with a spiritual principle. And that's how I look at it. And like everything in my life, I stay honest, open-minded, and willing. So everything is always up for review. I have changed and changed and changed and changed again. There was things with 3 years clean that I was adamant about. This is what it is. And come to find out next year, that's what it wasn't. And I'm okay with that, man. I'm not seeking perfectionism here. I don't believe that I become some type of God through these defects being removed. I actually become more humble and surrender more through every step. It puts me in a good place, honestly. I'm in the best place through the application and understanding of this program, through getting help to that process, that I've ever been in my life. People think I'm mad at them. People think, what's wrong with you? Because I'm okay with just being quiet and standing there. They can't even fathom that. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? You ain't saying nothing. Like, I'm okay.
Weirdo.
But that's what NA is doing for me, man. I am more humble. I've surrendered more. More defects have been removed. I have more assets that I can feel good about. But all it is doing is it's not raising me up, man. It's just keeping me nice and happy and calm in the middle. And I think that's overall all I ever really wanted. I never wanted to be super high, high. And I never was okay with being super low, low. I just thought the opposite of being low, low was high, high. So I had to get super high. But the reality was, I was just searching to be fine and normal right in the middle. And that's what giving me assets do. And that's what removing these defects do. It's a process that takes time, but it all starts with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And I get that stuff through prayer. I'm more in touch with my spirituality and my higher power than ever before. And I don't subscribe to any organized religion. Thank God I'm in the right place. Spiritually, I'm more full today than I've ever been. Anybody could get this. I ran away from home when I was 15 years old. Lived on the streets. Didn't know my social security number, birth certificate, slept outside in the middle of February, garages, behind bricks. This was before heroin. This was for beer and weed. I say that a lot. I gave my whole family, this isn't funny, but it's, meh. I gave my whole family up for beer and weed. So I'm an addict. Full-fledged obsession, compulsion, beat yourself up, die, 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 isolate and die. That's my brain. So these things that I'm talking about, I'm talking fast and I'm using a couple big words, I'm not unique. I'm not special. I'm not no better than anybody in here. I haven't had more pain or less pain or whose pain is what is irrelevant. Point being that anybody can make it through this process. Anybody can do it. Don't believe that the phone weighs 1,000 pounds. It's just a phone. It's light. It's electronic. Sponsor. Press the button. It's literally that simple. I tell all my sponsees, man, I was so tired today, I couldn't write on my step. I said, what time do you go to bed? 10:30, I get up early, bro. I'm like, what if you went to bed at 10:40? Wow, 10 minutes of step work will change your life. But it can change nothing in the morning. And it is literally that simple, man. And these are the things that I had to come to find out, because that's the stuff that I did. Rationalized, justified, every single behavior. Always had an excuse. I know everything. You couldn't tell me nothing. That's my process clean in the beginning, you know. Gone better with these, but they haven't all been removed. But my point is, we make this stuff harder than it has to be, and people are dying every day. I don't know who's been on Facebook today, but another dude died last night and the day before. And these are literally the jails, institutions, and death is an honest truth reality for the past since 1953 when this program was created. These are our end results. I understand when you're talking to somebody who's still out there, they're like, I'm willing to die. I'm okay with dying. You don't have to be. If you keep coming back and don't take nothing, no matter what, you won't be okay with dying anymore. And what I'm talking about is creating a life that's not that easy to give up. And it starts inside. It starts with prayer, step work, sponsorship, obviously, having a home group, and being of service. Those are the things that I do constantly, regularly. Things like this. I don't know why. I don't have all the answers. I'm free because I have a simple solution to this complicated problem where I don't have to think anymore. I don't have to figure nothing out. All I have to do is say, what should I do? And then I try to keep people around me who are doing it so I can trust their advice. It's really that simple. All I have to do is turn to somebody who's living this program and say, what should I do? And do it. And through that process, I'm free. That's all I got.